stand with me tonight, turn to Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22 tonight, if you can and you're able, please stand. We're going to look at verses 1 through 5. Matthew 22, verse 1 through 5, as we stand to give honor to God's Word. All right. Matthew 22, we're looking at verses 1 through 5. All right. Follow as I read. And Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables and said, The kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king, which made a marriage for his son, and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Again he sent forth other servants, saying, Tell them which are bidden, Behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready, come unto the marriage. But they made light of it, and went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for tonight. Help me now as I speak. Holy Spirit, as always, I ask and beg you tonight, please guide my words and my thoughts. Pray that you'd help me to be a blessing and encouragement to all those that have come tonight. Thank you for their faithfulness. I pray that you'd be with those that weren't able to make it tonight. And as always, Lord, please be with our preacher. Continue to lift him up, give him strength. Lord, help him to be what he needs to be wherever he's at the time. Thank you for this church. Thank you for what we stand for. Bless tonight the service as only you can. We ask it in Christ's precious name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Before I forget real quick, Brother Rick mentioned concerning the junior camp. I have 15 children right now confirmed that are going that need to be paid for. And I have two others that I'm working on. And if I get the one application tomorrow, and I'm not sure about the other one, but it's possible that we're going to need another two campers worth of funds. Everybody's looking at me like, oh no, more. But just pray about that. I'm not going to have a show of hands or anything like that tonight. I'll let preacher know concerning what happens tomorrow, because I won't know for sure until tomorrow anyway if we're going to have the two extra ones. But we definitely have 15, so we have the 15 that were promised. And so that's exciting. Last year, we only had 9 children come that we paid for. This year, we're paying for 15. So we've almost doubled since last year. To me, that's pretty exciting. There's going to be probably close to 20 kids or more on the bus. Poor preacher, yes. Preacher gets to drive, so it's going to be rough on him. All right, tonight we're going to be looking at Matthew chapter 22, verse 1 through 5. And the title of my message tonight is, It's Not Me, Lord. It's not me. All right? The title is, It's Not Me, Lord. It's Just Not Me. Now here in Matthew chapter 22, verses 1 through 5, I want you to notice verse number 5. We see, of course, the marriage supper. Here the king has bidden those to come. But I want you to notice the first part of verse 5. After all that the king did to invite those to come to the marriage, what does verse 5 say? But they made light of it. Can you imagine if a king were to come today and announce in the pulpit that come next to the end of this week on Friday, he's going to have a big banquet. Everybody's invited. He's preparing everything. He's paying for everything. It's not going to cost you nothing. And yet, when the banquet comes on Friday, nobody shows up. How exciting that would be, amen? Here, these people had the opportunity to be a part of a very special banquet. But the Bible says that they made light of it. In other words, they just didn't care. They were indifferent. Tonight I want to talk a little bit about indifference. One of those things that's been creeping into our churches more and more. And as we get closer to Christ coming back, we see it more and more, especially in our young people. Now, us old folks that have been around for a little while, I don't know what's different, but I guess we were just pounded on enough that we might think a little differently. Some of y'all are not smiling on that one. But for some reason, this younger generation that's coming up doesn't quite have the same thinking that the older generation has. And a lot of it has to do with indifference. What is indifference? It's the lack of concern, interest, or enthusiasm. The lack of concern, interest, or enthusiasm. Folks, Heritage Baptist Church will never fill these chairs until all of us begin to care. That's just plain and simple truth. There's nothing else that you can say. If we want these chairs to be full, we can't rely on the pastor to fill them up. We can't rely on the teachers to fill them up. We can't rely on the bus workers to fill them up. It becomes everybody's responsibility to fill the church up. Why is the church not full today? Because of indifference, lack of concern, lack of interest, lack of enthusiasm. Now, I'm not pointing fingers tonight, and trust me, I did not go around checking on anybody before I decided to preach this message. I've been thinking about this subject for several weeks now. Felt like God wanted me to talk about it tonight. But indifference is beginning to destroy churches all around us. Churches die, churches close their doors because of indifference. That's probably the main cause of closures. It's because people just don't care anymore. They want the benefits of what God has to offer, but they don't want to pay the price. Amen? Well, y'all are sleeping on me tonight. You're looking at me, as preacher says, like a cow at a new gate. What's going on? Did I miss something this week? I must have missed the memo. All right. We live in a world full of indifference. Like the people of the Scripture, many hear the truth and just make light of it. Many see the need around them, but make light of it. Many, sad to say, watch others doing the work, and they make light of it. I wonder here tonight, how many of us make light of it when it comes to the work of Christ? Now, trust me, when I talk about stuff tonight about indifference, it's not anything that is new to me, because I have been there. I have been indifferent to the cause of Christ and the things of God. I'm not going to tell you anything that I haven't experienced or done myself. I have been this way before. And every once in a while I get this way. We all do, amen? None of us are perfect. And no matter how hard we try, we go through those times of good and bad, amen? We have our ups, we have our downs. Some of us more downs than ups. Kind of reminds me of that Robin Hood song, amen? Y'all know the cartoon Robin Hood? Never mind. I like watching cartoons. That's why. Ups and downs. Okay, never mind. Nothing seems to faze people unless it affects them personally. Most people don't get a burr under their saddle until it hits at home. Most people don't get excited, don't get compassionate, don't get motivated to do something for God until it hits them personally. And that's the truth. You go from church to church, you'll see that in a lot of cases. Those that don't do anything, all of a sudden something affects them, and next thing you know, they're like, you know, Mr. Zealous or Mrs. Zealous. Everything matters to them because now it affects them. You know, I don't want to wait around till it affects me to get going for God. I should be affected by everything that goes on in the church because it's God's work, regardless if it affects me personally or not. Amen? Indifference. So tonight, let's look at this thing, indifference. What are some causes of indifference? I'm going to talk about three things tonight. The cause, the signs, and of course, the cure. The causes of indifference. Number one, lack of fear of God. The average person today will tell you without a doubt and not even faze them, I fear God. But the honest truth is, the average Christian today does not truly fear God. Because if they feared the Lord, as fear is meant to be, this church would be full. What is fear? This fear is respect and awe for the Creator. Respect and awe for the Creator and dread of displeasing Him. Think about that. True fear will cause you to respect and stand in awe of God. True fear will cause you to not want to displease the Savior. Amen? Lack of fear. Trust me, if you don't have fear of your employer, what happens? Amen? You get fired. You lose your job. More people are afraid of the person they work for than they are of the God that created heaven and earth. They have more respect for the man or woman that they call boss than they do for the very God of heaven. They're more worried about losing their job than they are about making God happy. Trust me, I know I've been there. Look, I've been saved for 33 years, but I haven't been super Christian for 33 years. In those first 10 years or so, I was just average. I was not much when it came to Christianity. I was not afraid of God. I didn't worry too much about making God happy. But the older I get, the more concerned I am of whether I'm making God happy. Because I know my time's coming to an end. Hopefully not anytime soon. You know, I'd like to be around for another 30, 40 years, but I don't know what God's going to do. But lack of fear. Look over at Luke chapter 7, verse number 16. First of all, we see respect and awe for the Creator. Luke chapter 7, verse number 16. And now, pardon me, it may take me a minute to move around in my Bible. I don't have one of those iPad thingies. I can't just scroll. I got to flip. Okay? Can't scroll. All right. Luke chapter 7, verse number 16. And there came a fear on them, and they glorified God, saying, that a great prophet is risen up among us, and that God had visited His people. Here you see the widow's son is raised from the dead. And of course it caused people to fear, to have a respect and an awe of God. It's sad in the Christian's life today that most of us have to see something miraculous to happen to get that respect and awe of God. We got to see big things happen in order for us to respect or stand in awe of Him. Every time I wake up, I'm in awe of God that I've got another breath to breathe. Amen? The fact that I've got a job, I stand in awe of the Lord. I hear so many people don't have jobs, and yet I have a job. Amen? God should not have to do big things in order for Him to gain your respect. He should have your respect for every little thing that He does. I mean, my kids are all healthy. They're ornery, but they're healthy. I mean, I just found out a few days ago. Of course, when she told me, I was just kind of standing there going, not home. My daughter Carla called me up a couple days ago. She's going into the Army. I thought, okay. She needed me to send I'm thinking, okay, Lord, that was a little bit of a surprise there. But look, my kids are not perfect, but I praise the Lord that they're healthy and they're still trying to do something for God. They may not do everything they could do for God, but they're doing something for God. And because of that, it causes me to stand in awe of the Lord. Because I see so many men right now who are in the ministry whose children don't want anything to do with God. And the fact that all my children want something to do with God makes me stand in awe of the Savior. To have that respect of Him, that fear. Number two, look over at Psalm 119, 120. Psalm 119, verse 120. We see dread of displeasing God. First, we see the lack of fear is caused because we don't respect and stand in awe of Him. But two, we have the lack of fear because we're not concerned about making God unhappy. Psalm 119, verse 120 says, "My flesh trembleth for fear of Thee, and I am afraid of Thy judgments." In other words, David was saying, look, if I don't do what I'm supposed to do, you're going to get me. Amen? Most of us, that's how I know Christians don't have a true fear of God, because they're not worried about punishment. They're not worried about God coming after them for being lazy. They're not worried about God getting on to them for not doing anything. They think just because they come to church Sunday night, Sunday morning, Wednesday night, that they're fulfilling the whole plan of God. That's not even close. That's just the bottom of the barrel. Some of y'all, hello? All right? So lack of fear of God. So what causes indifference? The lack of fear of God. Number two, focusing on the world. Look over at Matthew 13:22. Another thing that causes indifference is when our focus is on the world. Our focus is on the world. Matthew 13, verse number 22 tells us, here in this verse, he also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. The care of this world. Look over to 2 Timothy chapter 2, or chapter 4, verse number 10. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 10. Second Timothy 4:10 tells us, "For Demas, having forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Cretans to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia." So here, Demas, look, focusing on the world, Lord. Well, folks, we should be focusing on God, amen. Focusing on the things of God. The world will let you down. The world will destroy you if you let it. Too many Christians today are more concerned about what's going on in the world than they are what's going on in the church. Now, I have to be careful with that because some people put their nose where it don't belong. Amen? That's the busybodies and those things that get in the church, and they want to know things that ain't their concern. But more people in our church today are more concerned about what's happening in the world than they are what's happening in their own church. Their focus is on everything around them and not enough on what is here going on at Heritage Baptist Church and the work of Christ. Amen? So we see here, number one, lack of fear of God. Number two, focus on the world. Lastly, number three, ignorance. Look at Isaiah chapter 5, verse number 13. Isaiah chapter 5, verse number 13. I promise I won't be preaching until 9 o'clock, so I know y'all are... It's almost a quarter after and I'm only on point number one. So, Isaiah chapter 5, verse 13. "Therefore my people are gone into captivity because they have no knowledge. And their honor men are famished, and their multitude dried up with thirst." But a lot of times people don't do things because they just don't know how. They're ignorant. So what does that mean? It means it's our responsibility of those that do know how to help those that don't know how. It's our job as the older to teach the younger. It's not the job of the younger to teach the older. Ooh, that's a sore subject. Amen. Look, I'm not perfect. Trust me. My wife will tell you that. Okay? And if you're honest, you're not perfect either. But I try to help whoever I can help and try to teach whoever I can teach. There's a lot of things I've learned in my Christian life, and my goal is to make sure that others, especially this young generation, doesn't make the same mistakes that I made. I made a lot of mistakes. I hurt myself. I hurt my family. I don't want that to happen to anybody else. So if I can prevent somebody else from making the same mistakes I did, then I'm doing what I'm supposed to for God. Okay? There's a lot of ignorant people. That doesn't mean that they're bad Christians. It just means they just don't know how and somebody needs to help them along the way. So before you look at that person and say, why don't they ever do anything? Maybe you ought to find out what's going on. Maybe it's because they just don't know what to do. Hey, trust me, when I was young, I was one of those people that condemned people because they didn't do anything in the church. And then as I got older, I found out there's a lot of folks that just didn't know what to do. And they needed help. But I was too busy cutting them down instead of picking them up. And I hope you're not that way. I hope you don't make that same mistake. Because there's a lot of good folks that are going to do great things for God, but somewhere along the way, we've got to help them along the way. We've got to give them what they need to do the next thing. We've got to give them what they need to help reach their potential. Look, God didn't teach you what He taught you in your Christian life just for you to sit there and plug it all, or keep it all up here. Amen? If you see somebody struggling, find out why they're struggling and help them out. Okay. So causes of indifference. All right. Amen. Boy, I tell y'all, is it hot in here or is it just me? It's hot. Okay. That's what I thought. Causes of indifference. Again, lack of fear of God, focus on the world and ignorance. Now, what are some of the signs of indifference? What are some things that we can look for to be able to tell that somebody is indifferent to the cause of Christ? Number one, loss of zeal. If you ever watch people, some Christians, it's like they're fireballs. One minute they're trying to do anything and everything they can do for God, and then all of a sudden, it just stops. Have you ever met somebody like that? One minute they've got the zeal to do great things for God and they're just going and going and going and going, and then all of a sudden, it's gone. They don't want to do anything. They lost their zeal for God. So when you know somebody is doing stuff and all of a sudden they stop, it probably means somewhere along the way they got indifferent. They lost their desire for God. They lost their zeal, their excitement, their enthusiasm. If you see that, don't condemn them. Encourage them. Amen? Get them going again. You don't know how many times my wife has had to plug me in and get me going again. You say, oh no, Brother Ortiz, you never do that kind of stuff. Trust me, there's been times where I've gotten to points in my life where I just kind of said, that's enough, I had enough. Preacher will tell you that. When I came here to Heritage Baptist Church in 1990, I was at the place in my Christian life. I had been over there. I'd been preaching and teaching, working and soul winning and doing pretty much anything and everything in the church over there because we didn't have a pastor. When I got here to Montana, I pretty much said, that's it. I just want to come and sit and let everybody else do it. Well, preacher saw that I had no zeal. And so preacher took his size, whatever size shoe he has, and motivated me. Now, I don't encourage you to motivate people that way. Some people need it, and others you can't do that, because as the generation goes by and as it gets closer to the Lord coming back, it takes a whole lot less to get people to quit. It's very easy to offend people in the world we live today. The little things that I grew up with, where we just kind of shrug it off our shoulders and keep on going, will cause people to leave church and not want to come back. Back when I was growing up as a young Christian, my pastor, they'd just say, suck it up, keep on going. He would say stuff, that if I said today, the average Christian would just say, okay, I'm not coming back. I don't like what he said. So you have to be careful. All right. If somebody's lost their zeal, you're going to encourage them. Don't give them a size 10 or whatever. Put your arm around them, get them going, okay? Men, not the ladies, all right? I don't encourage that one. Unless it's your wife. Now, that's okay. I've got some of you. But look, there's a lot of people today that need encouragement. They're not bad Christians. They're not traitors to God. They just need somebody to love and encourage them. With the right amount of love and the right amount of encouragement, you never know what they're going to do in the future. Don't give up on people so easily. We have a tendency to do that, amen? We have a tendency to quit on people very quickly. A loss of zeal doesn't mean that they're gone. It just means they've got off the path a little bit and they need somebody to guide them back. So one sign is a loss of zeal. Number two is a loss of spiritual interest. Spiritual interest. What is this talking about? The lack of desire for the Bible. Okay? When people start not caring about whether they read their Bible or not, there's probably a good chance that they become indifferent. The Bible keeps us on track. Amen? When we stop reading it and when we lose interest in it, what happens to our walk with Christ? We become indifferent. We just get to the place where we don't care. Right? Not bothered by sin. Look, if sin don't bother you, there's a problem. If you don't mind doing things wrong and you can walk away and it doesn't faze you one bit, then there's a problem there. Amen? Every little wrong thing you do ought to prick your heart. It should. Not bothered by false doctrine. Things that cause a loss of spiritual interest. Also, not concerned about the lost. These are things that can cause us to lose spiritual interest. Now, folks, our life should be built around others, not ourselves. It's not a matter of building ourselves up, it's a matter of building others up. When you build others, God builds you. We have it backwards. We spend more time trying to build ourselves instead of building others. And we wonder why we have problems. We wonder why we're not getting anywhere. It's because you're going at it the wrong way. When you spend your life building those around you, God builds you. He makes you what you need to be for God. He helps you to raise your potential because your life is concerned about those around you. Am I going to offend people sometimes? Yeah. I do. Sometimes I say stuff I shouldn't say. I know none of you do. You never say anything wrong. I mean, I know I live in a church that all of you are perfect. Okay? Nobody in here ever says a bad thing. That's why I'm here, because I need your help. All right? I need your spiritual help and encouragement. All right. I appreciate that. But when people lose their interest spiritually, their spiritual interest, you can see it in them. Just watch their life. And like I said, don't condemn, encourage. Help them. Pray for them. How many times has preacher said, pray for people? When God burdens your heart about a person, pray. Don't wait to pray. Pray then. I love preacher the way he does it. Every time somebody mentions something, preacher, would you pray for this? What does he do? He prays right there. He doesn't say, okay, well, let me take that down and I'll get to it here in a little while. Preacher says, let's pray. He'll bow his head and pray right then and there. Why? Because he knows, like I know, that if I don't take care of it right then, I'll forget. Yeah? Amen? So look, when people lose their interest spiritually, don't condemn them. Pray for them. Pray the Holy Spirit gets a hold of their heart and lifts them up and helps them and encourages them. Not only that, so we have the signs of indifference, right? We see the loss of zeal, the loss of spiritual concern. Number three, missing services. A good sign that people are becoming indifferent to the things of God is when they stop coming to church. I mean, that's kind of obvious. We don't even have to talk a lot about that one. When people start missing, maybe it's one service this week. Then next week they'll be fine Sunday morning, night, and Wednesday night. Then the next week they'll miss. And then the next week they'll miss two times. And then as it goes along, it progresses. And before you know it, they're coming once in a while. It's a good chance that they've become indifferent to the things of God. They've just got to the place where they don't care. Now what happens when people stop coming to church? What's our average response? Okay, I'll be honest and I'll tell you what my average response is. Most of you are not going to be honest with me tonight. When I see people who stop coming to church, automatically I'm thinking, all right, what in the world are they doing wrong? Amen? We automatically think it's because of sin. Because they stop coming. Trust me, when people don't come, it's not always because of sin. Some deep sin in their life that they're trying to hide. They just got to a place where they've lost their zeal, they've lost their desire, and they don't care anymore. It's a progression. Right? Things just don't happen overnight. People don't just fall into sin and fall into being indifferent. You know, they don't wake up one morning and be the perfect super Christian, and then the next morning they wake up and they're indifferent. It doesn't work that way. There's a progression. Something has caused them to get there. Amen? missing services. Not only that, number four, they're consumed with secular interest. Consumed with the things of the world. Consumed, what I mean? Look, I love sports just as much as anybody else does. Right? I like to play them. I'm no good at them, but I like to play them. But I've always made it a policy. I do not miss church services for any sports activity. I don't miss Sunday mornings. I don't miss Sunday nights. I don't miss Wednesday nights. That's why my children do not participate in sports, because the average sport today, they want to have it on Wednesdays or Sundays. And if it takes them away from God, it ain't happening. But that's what happens to a lot of our Christians. They get involved in so many activities outside the church. Next thing you know, they're missing church all the time. Because they're going to this sporting event, or they're going to this particular event, or they're going over here. They want to see their children excel. Well, they're hurting their children, not helping their children by skipping church. Not only that, they're hurting themselves. Amen? Now, like I said, I'm not pointing fingers. Don't get the idea that I'm pinpointing anybody. I've just seen it enough in my 33 years as a Christian. That's reality. I don't know how many people I've seen become indifferent because they're always gone doing something else when it's time for church. They always seem to find something else to do. If you want an excuse not to come to church, the devil will give you one. Oh, my daughter's singing in the choir over in so-and-so. I've got to be there for her. Well, she shouldn't be in the choir if it keeps her away from church. Amen? I remember when we first came here and Corey went to Ulm School, she played the clarinet, right? And they had a concert one night, but it wasn't on church. Because if it had been on church night, she wouldn't have went, we wouldn't have went. And she knew that if she wanted to participate, we weren't missing church. That was just it. I'm more interested in my kids growing spiritually than I am their talents growing. I know some of y'all think, look, if your kid's talented, that's wonderful. But what good does talent do if they grow up spiritually dead? What good is talent if they grow up and do nothing for God and have nothing to show for it when they die? What good was their talent? It was nothing. Look, if they have talent, use it for God. Now, I know soccer, football, basketball, that stuff, it's kind of hard to use for God. Amen? But there's ways to use it for God. If you got talent in sports, go out there to the local school, pick up a basketball, start playing it. And then when people come around and want to play with you, witness to them. First beat the fire out of them in the game, then witness to them. Because once you beat them, you'll gain their respect and they'll listen to you. That's why I don't do that. Because if I go out there and play, I'll get beat miserably. And then when I try to talk to them about Christ, they'll be like, oh yeah, you can't even play basketball. Get out of my face. No, look, if you got talent, whatever talent is for God, or you have, use it for God first. There's nothing wrong with participating in sports. I'm not saying that. It's just too many of these things have taken our Christians away from church. And a lot of them don't grow spiritually, and a lot of them never reach their potential because outside interests become more important than inside interests. So we have the causes, we have the signs. Now, a few things here. Thoughts and sayings of indifferent people. Some things that we think, some things that we say that would be a sign that we've become indifferent. This is different from the cure. These are things that I have thought. These are things that I have said at one time or another. That's not... He's not talking about me. How many times have you heard the preaching of God and you listen to it and you think, well, that's not about me. Amen? You know, a lot of people say that enough, they start believing it. He's not preaching about me. Not only that, someone else will do it. A good sign that someone's become indifferent is when they're always saying someone else will do it. Well, that someone usually never comes. Amen? If God's touched your heart to do it, then do it. Don't wait for somebody else to do it. Number one, you're being disobedient to God's call. Amen. Number two, you're missing out on the blessings of God when you wait around for somebody else to do it. Amen. Okay. Number three, I need to think about it first. Look, if God's touched your heart about something, don't think about it. Just do it. You know what happens when you have to think about it? You eventually talk yourself out of it. You say, oh no, Brother Ortiz, never. I would never do that. Well, then you're a liar. Trust me. I don't know how many times I said that as a young Christian. I need to think about it first. And inside the Holy Spirit saying, no, you don't have to think about it. Just do it. Just obey. Okay? Number four, I will do it next time. You know what happens? Next time never comes. You do it this time, maybe God will give you another opportunity next time. Because if you wait till next time to do it, it never comes. And then next thing you know, you're missing out on a lot of opportunities for God. Not only that, the last one, which is probably the biggest one, I already do enough. I wonder how many of us have said that one. I already do enough. Okay? Look me in the eye. And honestly, do you believe that? That you already do enough? I don't do enough. No matter how much I do, it's still not enough. Because I could never, ever repay what He did for me. It's never going to be enough. It's just never enough. But so many times, people, you know you're indifferent when you're always saying, I already do enough. If you have to keep telling yourself that, that probably means you're not doing anything. Amen? A lot of these things, if you have to keep telling yourself that, that means that you're not doing nothing. So what's the cure for indifference? Okay? I need to quit. Cure for indifference. Teach and warn. Look. Teach. You have the opportunity to influence other people. Those that you know are indifferent, or you believe are indifferent, help them. Teach them. Amen? Number one, if you've become indifferent, of course, find someone that can help you. Teach and warn, or help somebody else. Number two, if you know you've become indifferent, repent. Get right with God and get going. When you know you're there, and you're like, Lord, what's going on right now? I can't do anything. I don't want to do nothing. What's wrong with me? God's saying, look, you got a problem. Let's get it taken care of. Let's keep on moving. Get on your knees, get right with God, and keep on moving. If you know there's a problem, there's one way to take care of it. Repent and go. Amen? Number three, study. Stay in the book. You're in the book. It's going to be hard to become indifferent. When you're constantly in this book, reading and studying what God has to say, it's very difficult to stop doing things for God. Because there's so many places in there where God keeps you motivated. Amen? In the Bible. I love the Word of God. Not only that, lastly, be a doer of the Word and not a hearer. Look, don't just listen to it. Do it. Just get out there and do it. But you say, I'm going to make mistakes. Yes. You say, sometimes I'm going to embarrass myself. Yes. But none of that should ever keep you from doing it. Do you realize how many times I've made a fool of myself in the Christian life? I don't have enough fingers and toes to count how many times. Look, I do, and a lot of times I mess up. But even when I mess up, I keep on doing. I don't stop doing just because I make mistakes. I don't stop doing just because I embarrass myself once in a while. I don't stop doing just because I don't do it the right way all the time. I keep doing it because I figure one of these days I'm going to get it right. As long as I keep on trying. Amen? So, indifference. We see the cause. We see signs and we see the cure. So tonight, you got to remember, indifference is a disease, right? And it can lead to your spiritual destruction. When you get to that place where you just don't care anymore, you're on a downhill slope. And if you're not careful, when you get to the bottom, it's not going to be good. So when you see yourself going that direction, put the brakes on, take care of business with God, and keep on going. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for tonight. Help us now as we get ready to dismiss. Pray now that You'd be with us during the invitation time. Lord, thank You for this opportunity to come and be here tonight. Thank You, Lord, for the opportunity to serve You and to give our all to You. Lord, help us not to be indifferent to the things that You have for us. Help us not to be indifferent to those around You, around us. Help us not to get to the place, Father, where we just don't care anymore. And when we get there, Lord, help us to get back to where we need to be. I pray tonight that You just work in the hearts of those that hear. Heads bowed, eyes closed, everyone standing tonight. We're going to have a brief invitation time. I'm not sure where you're at tonight spiritually. I don't know if you're one of those that I talked about tonight. But maybe tonight, somewhere along the way, you've become indifferent. Maybe you've gotten to the place where you don't care anymore and it just seems like you're just doing things because that's what you're supposed to do. Not because you want to or not because you love God, but because you just know that's what you're supposed to do. You've become indifferent to God's work. So tonight the altar's open. If you need to come, as the invitation plays, you come. You do business with God tonight. If God's spoken to your heart, don't wait until the next time to get it taken care of. Get it taken care of tonight so that you can get up off your knees in victory and do what you need to do for God. Altar's open if you need to come. There's still time. everyone looking this way. Exciting news tonight. We are happy, and I haven't done this before, so I mean, I did it over in Nepal, but I've never done it here at Heritage Baptist Church. Tonight we have Aaron and Zanna Connor. Aaron and Zanna Connor have come tonight to join Heritage Baptist Church. And we're very excited about that, amen? So I'd like to entertain a motion, and both of them have both professed Christ and have been scripturally baptized, and I'd like to entertain a motion tonight that we accept them into the membership of Heritage Baptist Church. And one, a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, nay. Carried. All right. So, Aaron and Zanna, welcome to Heritage Baptist Church. I know you're not new here. I mean, you guys have been back and forth, but now you're part of the family officially, and we're excited. Now we're going to put him to work. I do know one thing. He's a good plumber. I still remember when I was gone that he put in a new faucet for my house. Did a great job on it. I appreciate that. So I'm going to have these folks come up here. If you guys will come and just stand in front of the Lord's Supper table, once we pray and dismiss, I want you folks to come on over, shake their hands, tell them how glad you are to have them as a part of our church. And smile. Don't embarrass them, okay? All right, don't be. She's already shy. I know she's got that shyness about her, but we are excited that they're a part of our church. So let's pray, we'll dismiss, and then you come by and welcome them tonight. Father, we thank you again for tonight. Help us now as we dismiss. Thank you again for the blessing as we receive Aaron and Zanna Connor into the fellowship of Heritage Baptist Church. What a blessing and a great addition they are to our church. Pray, God, that you would bless them now as they serve you here. Help us to be an encouragement to them, Lord, as they faithfully serve you. Again, thank you for your service tonight. We ask it in Christ's precious name. Amen. And you are dismissed.